If you'll turn to the book of James with me, we're looking at one verse today, so this reading will be quick. James chapter 4, verse 17. James chapter 4, verse 17, and reading in Jesus' name. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for being straightforward with us. I thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, which gives us wisdom and allows us to discern your words. And Lord, I pray today that you will speak to us as Christians. Lord, strengthen us and help us to take this message out and be an outreach to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Every now and then, I just think it's kind of necessary to remind you who the book of James was written to. And since I'm kind of on a, you know, once a month preaching schedule, it's really not wrong for me to say that. The book of James, at this point, is written to fellow believers. And a lot of times, I think when you take this in mind, there are assumptions that are put into place. These people know who Jesus is. They know what he's done. They know that he died on the cross, and they knew that he rose from the dead. So today I'm going to be talking a lot about our focus on Christ as Christians, and I don't want to overlook that. Because that's so important. I'm not just throwing the name Jesus out there. The Jesus that we're focusing on is the Jesus that comes from Scripture, the Scripture that's given to us by God in truth, and Jesus, part of the Trinity, God's Son and the Holy Spirit too. So please keep that in mind. I'm going to read our verse one more time. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Now, I ask you, how do you react to this when you read this? We've been going through James, and once a month, sometimes I take a couple verses, sometimes I take a couple more, but we've been going through James, and, you know, sometimes we come out of James, and there's just some great messages. And if we were to read this, you know, all in one sitting, like the people who got James' letter did, I'm sure, you know, you could come out and, you know, you have some real spiritual highs. You've been given some good knowledge. We've been equipped. Last month, we talked about giving our future to God. You know, when we go into the future, we don't do our own will because that's arrogant on our part. Instead, we go into the future knowing that if God wills it. So also, we were called a mist. You know, in the grand scheme of things, we're nothing but a mist. But we're still important, you know. So we can come out of last week, and I just have a couple quotes just from the last time I preached. You know, I know I'm a mist, and my future is untrue, and, you know, and I'm going to give that to God. And I'm going to stop being arrogant about my life and the control I have of it. You know, and we're going to go out there, you know, and you know, that emotion, it makes us feel good, and we want to go out there and just live what we've learned there. But, you know, you look at this next verse, and all of a sudden, you know, this nice emotional feeling that we have of realizing, you know, we've been given knowledge that can equip us and help our relationship with God, help our life here on earth, putting God as the number one priority, and all of a sudden we're called sinners again. You know, and I said, what? Wait, didn't we just... But this isn't the first time that James has done this, okay? And I talked about this. If you just look back a little bit farther, verses 13, oops, I better make sure that I didn't forget to write my chapter down before I tell you to go there. Okay, so here we go. No, this is the third time that he's done it. If you look at verse 10 of chapter 2, He says, for whoever stumbles, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. Okay, and then in, I'm pretty sure it's verse 3. Let me look. Yeah, verse 3. Verse 13 of, okay, I'm going to try this again. Verse 13 of chapter 3. He has done this again. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. James is constantly reminding us that we're sinners. And when he reminds us that we're sinners, he's not just telling us that we're sinners, but he's really showing you that we've broke the whole thing. Because there's not one thing of those three little parts. You know, we break one part of the law, we've broken the whole thing. This little spot that I read between verse 13 and 16, it happens. We still have those thoughts of bitterness and envy, and there is faction, and, you know, it creeps into our lives sometimes. So there we again, we've broke the whole thing. And again today, those of you who know the good that you're supposed to do and don't do it, you're sinners. So James has covered sin very well. He's talked about the sins that we commit, which is, you know, the things that we do that we don't want to do. And today he's addressing the sins that we, when we omit, meaning we don't do what we're supposed to do. So James has got it covered. Again, you and I are sinners. Okay, I'm going to step away from the text for just a second. Now, parents, you know, it's kind of fun because when I get to talk with the youth group kids, our young drivers have different rules, okay? But when you talk to parents who have set rules in place for their kids, there is a reason for every rule that they give. Now, some of the rules, okay, you cannot drive at certain times. That's what the parents say to the kids, right? You won't let your kids, or didn't, let your kids drive at certain times of the day. They couldn't ride with certain people. Maybe some of you weren't even allowed to play your radio. Cell phone, well, that changes every day. The cell phone is like, there's like six branches off the cell phone that could distract you. So just throw your cell phone away. Okay, and then we've got other things. Make sure you come to a full stop. And then there are things that are built into the car. Our defroster, our windshield wipers, our headlights. Okay, so we've got our parent rules and we've got these things that are built into the car. But what's the underlying principle of that? Parents want their kids to pay attention to the things that are going on around them. Because if you don't pay attention to things that are going around you when you drive a car, the likelihood of you getting in an accident are high. It helps you to avoid your own mistakes and then watch out for bad drivers. Right? Okay, so what's my point here? Okay, we've been called a sinner here three different times by James. So James is definitely trying to make sure that we have our focus on something that is very, very important. Every now and then, myself included, we can read some good text, have a good sermon, something that just kind of inspires us. And you know, and we're hit with that emotion. And it feels good to have that emotion. Okay? But that emotion, if it's focused on actions, or if it's only focused on your sins, you have a problem. Okay? And that can sometimes be the case when we go through texts like I've been reading through James. Now, let me clarify a little bit. You focus only on your actions with no guiding force or foundation behind it, and pretty soon your actions, you're going to find yourself competing with people around you. You know, well, you know, I was joking with my confirmation class today. Well, I'm not as bad as Greg, so I'm doing great. You know, or maybe, you know, because you don't have that guiding line that comes from what we're supposed to be focused on, which we'll talk about in a second, you're not truly honest with yourself. You're willing to justify what you're doing. You know, and also there's a danger if you're focused on your sin and only sin, you lose your focus because you think you're not good enough to be forgiven. That is bad focus. So now, what do we focus on? Now, I think most of you would know the answer to this. The focus as Christians needs to be on Jesus and Jesus alone, not the emotions. And I want to read a text here in John. John chapter 9, and I'm going to read about three verses, 39 to 41. John chapter 9, verse 39 through 41. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." So, what do you do with the knowledge that you gain from hearing God's word? Okay, because he who knows the good he ought to do, this is the good. What do you do with the knowledge that you gain from Jesus' word? Well, you do good, right? We do good. We share it. We teach it. We live it. Okay, those are symptoms that come from knowing Jesus. It's a great illness to have. Share those. It's a great, share those symptoms, all right? Share those out, share those. The other thing that we do with the knowledge that we get is we realize our sins. Sins that we've committed, the sins from omission. John or James has talked about our need for humility. We learn that. Compassion. See, Jesus came in to help the blind to see. And by see, this is seeing spiritually. When we see, we recognize that we're lost and condemned, and we're a sinner without Christ. And you know, that is okay to every day focus on Christ, because it's better than being blind and not knowing that. Jesus is that line that we get to measure our daily lives with. He's that foundation that we stand on. It's true, it's honest. And that Holy Spirit that comes with knowing Jesus is going to prompt us. Now, like I said, this message is to Christians. Okay? So we're going to have the people that hear this and are able to focus on Jesus, and we're going to have those that might get caught up in the emotions of things. And the dangers of the emotions is that emotions fade away. Now, if you've been given knowledge and you get that emotion, and it kicks your conscience, right? That's what emotions do sometimes. It kicks your conscience. But if it only comes to that emotional stage and it fades away, then that's going to evaporate. You've got to take those emotions that we get from God's word and put it into practice. Put it into practice. Now, this is not doing to be perfect, okay? Because we've already established that we've broken the whole thing, okay? We've broken the whole thing. James has told us that three times. But we're trying to avoid here, and I want to take a couple topics that Pastor Jeremy talked about last week. We want to avoid that mountaintop experience. Okay? We want to avoid building the shelter and leaving it on the mountaintop. Okay? The cross, the Christ of glory, is not what we want. Okay? The Christ of glory can be a great thing when we have the cross, the Christ of the cross. But the Christ of glory can be a whole bunch of emotion. And if we're seeking emotion, that's going to be a problem. Because if it's only emotional, you're not going to be truly satisfied. And if you're not truly satisfied, your life is going to start to become a little bit inconsistent. You're going to be looking for the next emotion. It's kind of like a drug. You know, you want to, I need that emotion. I need to be closer to God. But the knowledge we've had here is that the focus needs to be on Jesus. Emotion is like the cell phone. It's distracting us from Jesus. And if we don't focus on Jesus, we drive off the road or we get hit by the bad driver. And there's a bad driver who's out there, the devil, and he's looking to hit you. He is looking to hit you. Emotion is also going to allow you to justify your sin. You'll actually lie to your conscience. You've got a witness with you every day, and if your focus is on Christ, that conscience will prompt you with the Holy Spirit's guidance, and you're going to know. But if you start lying to your conscience, lying to that witness that is with you, pretty soon you're not measuring yourself to Christ, you're measuring yourself to others. You know, let's forget about measuring people with others. Let's just do what's right. Let's do what feels good. The emotion comes in, it fades away, and soon your heart's going to start to harden. And now you've come from a Christian who got emotion from God's word, but you're not focused on Christ, and now you're running the risk of being blind spiritually. So, I ask you again, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. How does that make you feel? You know, we don't like to be told that we're doing wrong. But if being told that you're a sinner causes you to focus more on Jesus, yes, every day, every single day. How do you feel about being called a sinner? You know, I know this isn't the gospel, but there's a song here that the kids seem to pick on Wednesday night a lot called Unbounded Grace. And I just want to read this to conclude the sermon. Page 292, what do you do? How do you feel when you're called a sinner? Well, if your focus is on Christ, you feel like this. Unbounded grace it reached to me when hope was gone from view. In my despair, Christ came to me as he alone could do. Grace was for me the only way my guilt could find relief. My destiny was changed that day. I reached out in belief. God's grace does not on me depend. It's God who is my stay. His love is offered without end. He walks with me each day. The universe with joy will ring when grace has won the day, as all creation joins to sing. Praise God who paved the way.